chapter 24. This morning, Matthew chapter 24. I'd like to go to two places. Matthew 24, that's the first book of the New Testament. And then here in just a few minutes, we'll go to the first book of the Old Testament and find ourselves in the book of Genesis in just a second. But in Matthew 24 is where we'll start. And I am so glad to see all of you here today. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate all of those that rode the bus. And I tell you, I appreciate you coming our way. Matthew chapter 24, begin reading in verse 35. And I'll read down to verse 39. And we'll go to a different place and try to give you what the Lord's laid on our heart this morning. Matthew 24, verse 35. The Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." Now, I want to stop and tell you, that's not the heaven where God is. That's where the sun, moon, and stars are. One of these days, heaven and earth's going to pass away. But, this is the promise He gives us. But, my words shall not pass away. That means that we do have a copy of the very words of God today. Where the sun, moon, and stars is still here, and the earth is still here. So that means one of these days they're going to pass away, but the Bible, God's words, will stand sure. They're still here. You can still get your hands on a copy of it. Watch verse 36. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now, what he's talking about is the second coming of Jesus Christ. "But of that day..." We don't know when it's going to be. Nobody does. No preacher, if they tell you what time it's going to be, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Not even the angels in heaven know when it's going to be. Verse 37, "But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now that verse tells us that I'm not going to tell you the day, I'm not going to tell you the hour, but I will give you a little hint of what's going to be going on when I do come. "So it was the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Verse 38, "For as in the days that were before the flood." Has everybody got that? The flood happens in chapter number 7, and the latter part of chapter 6 of Genesis, and the early part of chapter 7. "As it were in the day before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that You'd help us the next few moments. God, I pray, Lord, that You would steal the hearts and minds of the people. And Lord, everybody's got all the running in and out done. And Lord, they can give full attention, Lord, not to me, but to the Word of God. And I pray that if somebody's here that's not saved, I pray you save them today before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Here in Matthew 24, it says, "I'm not going to give you the day or the hour when I'm coming." Nobody knows that. But I will give you a little hint of what it's going to be like before I do come and the second coming. This is what he said. In the days as it were in the days before the flood. So guess what? Let's do a process of elimination. The flood happens, of course, in process of in Genesis chapter number 6. Well, the days before the flood would be Genesis 5 and Genesis 4, because Genesis 1, 2, and 3 has to deal with before the fall and the sin into the world. So, we've got two chapters, Genesis 4 and Genesis 5, that have to do with the days before the flood was. And so Genesis chapter 5 deals with a man by the name of Enoch. And Enoch was not, for God took him, and he went from this earth, and he was translated into heaven without seeing death. That's a picture and a type of the church. That's a picture and a type of us bypassing the flood. That's why I know we're not going through the flood, because Enoch was caught up before the flood. Never saw tribulation. Never saw the flood. So that leaves us what? One chapter. Chapter number 4. Find Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4, and let's look at something. Genesis chapter number 4, and we'll read just a few verses right here. This, my friend, is the way it's going to be before the Lord comes. Genesis chapter number 4, verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hands. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew 24 tells us that as it was in the days before the flood, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I got to submit to you today in Genesis chapter number 4, we see two different ways. This is the way it was before the flood. This is the way it'll be before the coming of the Son of Man. And I'm telling you this, we're already here in these days. You say, Preacher, there's a lot of different religions in the world. A lot of different ways to worship. A lot of different religions and isms and this, that, and the other. Folks, I understand that there's Islam and there's Buddhists and there's Hindus and there's Jehovah's Witnesses and Jehovah's False Witnesses and Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists and Christian Scientists and Scientology and all the many different religions of the whole world. But I submit to you this morning, there's only two religions in the world. It's either religion of Cain or it's the religion of Abel. Amen. It's not but two. You say, there's a bunch. No, there's not but two. Cain did it his way. Abel did it God's way. Amen. There's not but two. You can look all through the rest of them. And I'm telling you, they'll match up, all of them, lump them all up together, and place them into the worship of Cain, because they're doing it their way. I want to submit to you, first of all, there's two ways to worship. Two ways to worship. Cain and Abel knew how to worship God's way. They knew how to worship God's way. Adam and Eve, no doubt, took their two little boys and took them by the garden. And probably one of the boys said, Mama, Daddy, why can't we go in there? Why is that cherubim sitting there and won't let us in there? Why is he swinging that sword so we can't go in there? And no doubt Adam said, Well, boys, one day, me and your mama never sweat. We worked and we never sweat. We had a perfect environment. And one day sin came and we disobeyed God and we failed God. And God kicked us out of that garden over there. But He didn't leave us. Boys, listen to me. He didn't leave us that way. He killed two lambs and shed innocent blood and put the coats around us. We tried to sow fig leaves and do it ourselves. And God says, that's not the way to do it. I won't accept that. And God killed those two lambs and covered me and your mama. And that's why we got clothes on our back today. It's be something that God done. And without the shedding of blood, boys, two boys, listen to me. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Those two boys knew how God wanted to worship and knew how to do it God's way. And Mom and Dad said, we disobeyed God. Boys, we did it our way. And God says, there's another way. My friend, Cain says, I want to come to God my own way. Cain says, Mom and Dad is old antiques. Cain said, we don't listen to Mom and Dad. This is a new generation. This is the 21st century. We'll do it like we want to do it. Abel says, if it was good enough for Mom and Daddy, it was good enough for me, and I'll do it God's way, just like Mom and Daddy taught me out of the Bible. I know they didn't have a Bible, but God told them that is as good as the Word.
Abel said, I want to do it God's way. Cain says, I want a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Yes, Cain went to church. Both of these boys went to the house of worship. Both of them came to church. Both of them had a suit on. Both of them had a tie on. Both of them had a Bible under their arm. And both of them worshiped two different ways. And if you're sitting in this room right now, you came to this church and you are going to worship one of two ways. You're either worshiping at the church of Cain or you're worshiping at the church of Abel. And this is the way it's going to be before the Lord comes. Abel says, I'll do it God's way. Cain says, I'll do it my own way. Cain represents the modernist. Abel represents a Bible believer. Cain represents humanism. Abel represents God's way. Cain represents my way. Abel represents my lost condition. I see in the church today, folks, I hope y'all ready for this on a Sunday morning. You know why I know the Lord's coming? It's because in Dyersburg, Tennessee, there's churches of Cain and there's churches of Abel. You say, what is the church of Cain like? Well, the church of Cain is like this. We go out into the world and we say, hey, what would it take for you to come to our church? And the world says, well, you're going to have to lower the lights a little bit. And so it resembles the place I go on Friday and Saturday night. And the church of Cain is like this. Well, we're going to bring in the rock bands. And we're going to dim the lights. You come like you are. Just come as you will. Come in your ball clothes. Come however you want to come. No respect for the house of God. I'm expecting a little more help than that. I thought we had more people in here at Church of Abel than the Church of Cain. And the Church of Cain pulls the screen down and has a contemporary style of worship. And the church of Cain is more worldly. And the world's getting more churchy. And we're losing ground altogether. You say, preacher, how do you know the Lord's coming? Because there's two churches. There's the church of Cain and there's the church of Abel. A church of Cain says, I'm going to do it my way. The church of Cain, you'll see the preacher come in and his tennis shoes, a pair of cut-off blue jeans, and his golfing shorts. I'm not getting the response I thought I was going to get. Maybe you like that Church of Cain. But you won't get it around here. We're going to do our best to stay with the Church of Abel. And do it God's way. You say, preacher, the only way we can reach the youth today is to reach them with their methods. My friend, you mark this and down, put it in the front fly leaf of your Bible. Whatever you win them with is what you'll have to keep them with. If you win them with ice cream, you'll have to do something better next week to get them. Amen, preacher. If you win them with lollipops, you'll have to do something better next Wednesday night to get them to come back. But if you ever, if God Almighty ever grips their heart, they'll come whether you got ice cream or not. Having ice cream, wonderful. Hallelujah. Hope we have some this afternoon. But if that's the only reason you're coming, ladies and gentlemen, you need the Church of Abel and we need to throw out the Church of Cain. Hallelujah. We're reaching the church. We're reaching the world with worldly music, worldly preaching, worldly worship. And everybody's going to die and go to a worldly hell. I may have the wrong message. I don't know. Before the coming of the Lord, this is the way it's going to be. Youth, you young people that come on Wednesday night, you know this preacher loves you. You know for sure. You may not admit it, but I'll tell you the truth in a minute. I'm fixing to tell it to you now. Listen to me real good. Listen to me real good, and I'm saying it with love and charity. If you dress up for the prom,
that's right. Amen.
And you respect the prom, and put on a tie, and boy, you shine them shoes, you comb your hair, you at least put deodorant on for the prom.
Amen.
When you come to youth group on Wednesday nights, don't come down here like you look like you just rolled out of bed.
Amen.
I got to stand up.
Listen, let me clarify. You wear the, if the prom is good, hallelujah, help yourself, whatever you want to do on the prom. I got my different ideas about the prom, but you just help yourself. I'm not going to preach on that because you won't never come back if I told you what I thought about the prom. But when you come to church, at least have as much respect for the house of the Lord. I know that. Don't meet me at the door and go, well, this ain't the house. Listen, we ought to have respect for this place.
Right.
Hallelujah. You ought to wear your best.
Yeah.
If we was going to the White House to see the president, we'd dress up, son. We'd go to the balls and the weddings and the funerals. Son, we put on and we put on. We come to the house of God, look like we just rolled out of the ball field.
Right. Amen.
I'm needing a little help.
Right.
I feel like I'm up here by myself. Y'all help me now.
Amen.
The church of Cain versus the church of Abel. Well, let me get off of that because that point ain't going over too good. Number two, there was two ways to worship. That's point number one. Two ways to worship. You either worship the way Cain worshiped, do it your way, your own way, or you worship Abel's way, do it God's way.
Yeah.
Or, number two, there's two offerings.
Yeah.
When you come, you bring two offerings with you. Cain was not an atheist.
Right.
Cain believed in God. Matter of fact, it was Cain's idea to bring an offering to church. It was Cain's idea. We just read it. Cain is the one. The process of time, verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Cain was the first one that thought about bringing an offering to the Lord. So, listen, he was a good guy. He was a religious man. He did believe in God. He brought of his own labor. He brought of the ground, and he tilled the ground, and he worked real hard, and he was sweating by the sweat of his face, and he tilled, and he brought up turnips, and whoever would want to eat a turnip, I don't know, and he brought up green beans. Who would ever want to eat green beans? I don't know. No wonder God rejected it. And he was bringing forth corn, and he was bringing forth all of this stuff out of the ground, stuff that he worked on himself. On the other side, Abel. Now what? Wait. Back over here. Cain came to church like this. God, you ought to be proud of this. I worked real hard on this. If anybody ought to be proud, you ought to be proud of this. Look at what I've done. My grandma bought the first three rows in that church. My granddaddy put every stained glass window in that church. My uncle bought the chandeliers in that church. If anybody ought to be able to go to heaven, surely it ought to be me. You either came that way this morning, or Abel came this way. God, I'm unworthy. I don't even know why you give me these sheep. I don't even know why you give me what you give me. I'm not even worthy to even come to church, much less bring you an offering. But Lord, what I have, I give unto Thee. I'll give you not the worst sheep I got. I'll give you the best sheep I got. And I'll give you, and I will shed His blood. And I'll let the innocent, I will kill the innocent so there would be blood between me and you.
Right.
Abel come into church with his head hung low. Cain come into church with his hands full of his own labor.
Yeah.
My friend, there's two churches, the church of Cain, the church of Abel. That's how I know we're living in the last days. And number two, you know why I know we're living in the last days? It's because there's two offerings that you can bring. This morning, you either came in here saying, Lord, look what I have graced you with my presence with. Lord, I'm telling you, I could have been somewhere else, but I chose to come in here and show you what I got. Or you came into church with your head hung low and said, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away man's sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow that flows from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all your guilty stains. There's not but two ways to worship. There's two offerings to bring. And my friend, Abel's offering was the very best that he had, the lamb. He didn't bring nothing second. And let me stop. I got plenty of time. I fix have to make up something to say. Hang on. Let me help some of you out. Let me help somebody if I can. Listen to me real good. Both of these men, Cain and Abel, listen, offered a sacrifice in their heart before they ever brought a sacrifice to the church house.
Yeah.
Now listen to me real good. You say, oh, it was that lamb. It was that sacrifice that saved. Oh no, my friend, listen to me real good. Abel had already sacrificed something in his heart before he brought.
Amen.
The only thing he brought was what was already on the inside.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, break that down to New Testament time. How many times have we said, how many people, when they get saved, they step out of that and they make that first step. And God saves them right there before they ever pray a prayer. Don't ever tell somebody, oh, you got to pray this kind of prayer before God will save you. My friend, when you step out of that and you're already making that sacrifice in your heart before you ever show an outward expression of what's on the inside. My friend, let's get the Old Testament right. Them fella, salvation. I don't care where you're at in the Old Testament. Salvation is an inside job. Salvation is an inside job. Let me illustrate it for you. I can go over here and I can just haul off and kick Mark right in the kneecap. Sometimes I'd love to. He's my friend. But watch this. Way before I ever go down there and do it, I've already done it in here.
Right. Amen.
Abel, before he ever cut that lamb's throat, he already cut his throat in here. And we were seeing an outward expression of what's already on the inside. Salvation's an inside job.
Yeah.
It may not be the same all the way through there, and I know, understand that, but it's always an inside job, and it's always a heart matter.
Amen.
Now I'm done. Two results. There ain't but two ways. You either go the way of Cain, and I'm going to tell you, folks, if you go the way of Cain, you'll wind up in a place called hell. You can't win with the way of Cain. If you want to do it your way, try to do your best, whatever you want to do. But I promise you that your best is not good enough. You want to try the church of Abel or the way of Abel, the sacrifice of Abel? My friend, that is the way God accepts. Blood. He requires blood. Jude verse 11 says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Matter of fact, the book of Jude is the book right before the book of the Revelation. I wonder why Jude verse 11 says, woe unto them, they go in the way of Cain, right before the Revelation. Matthew 24 says, as it was before the flood. You know how I know the Lord's coming? You know how I know the Lord's coming? He's coming very soon. You know how I know?
It's because of Genesis chapter number 4. We're living in this age right here. Churches all over Dyersburg, Tennessee are following in the worldly methods of Cain. They ain't work. They will not work. They may draw a crowd, but you sure ain't going to keep a crowd. Because if you have a rock band this Sunday, you're going to have to do something a whole lot better next Sunday to keep them coming back. But I guarantee you, if there's convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, people will come. And they're coming not because of what they're going to see, but because of what's on the inside of their heart. They've been transformed by the grace of Almighty God. There's two ways. And I'll tell you this. God rejected Cain's offering. And He accepted Abel's offering. You say, what's Hebrews say? Well, I'm going to tell you. If I can find where I wrote it down at. Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. My friend, you came in today ready to worship. And I hope you did. I hope you did. But I hope and pray you didn't come in showing God what all you've done, what all you've been good, all you've turned on newly. You quit cussing, you quit drinking, you quit done everything. You quit running around those that do. You quit running around all them people. You've done really good. I'm talking about you're proud of yourself. And I can tell you, God's not proud of that. You say, why wouldn't He be proud of that? Nothing in my hands I can bring. There's only one thing that'll get you to heaven, folks. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's laying it down simple. You go some of these other places, they'll tell you, oh, it don't matter, you get your way, yeah, I'll go this way, you go your way. Listen, folks, look, that ain't going to work. There ain't but one way to heaven. I've told this illustration before. There's a lady at the post office, run into her. She said, oh, preacher, going to heaven is sort of like going to the post office. Some people come down McGehee Street. Some people go down this street over here. Some people come around Maine. They come around this way. Everybody comes different ways to get to the post office. I said, ma'am, that sounds real good. You ought to be a theologian. You ought to write a book. I said, but ma'am, listen to me real good. When we die, we ain't going to the post office. We're going to heaven. And there may be 109 ways to get to the post office. But there ain't but one way to get to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. The church of Cain or the church of Abel. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that You'd bless.